And while we are still standing, I want to reiterate the words from Psalm 124 today. The psalm says, "If it had not been for the Lord, then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." So considering the week that we've just had, let us all together say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, I want to invite you to go back through your mind, through your TV guide, and consider a reality show called Undercover Boss. Have any of you ever seen that show? It's an interesting show. It's fascinating and it's a little troubling. In each episode of this show, Undercover Boss, the CEO or the president of a company shows up in a disguise as a new entry-level hire in the company that they lead. They may be on the factory floor or the fast food kitchen or the assembly line. And in the TV show, this disguised executive is assigned to learn the entry-level ropes from a new employee, a junior employee, while being followed around by a film crew, oddly. The setup has always struck me as kind of thin, and the CEO disguises are never really good disguises. But what has fascinated me about this show and this reality show is that the undercover leader inevitably learns some really important things about their company from the rank and file folks who make the company work. Now, as I read the Hebrew scriptures in today's lectionary readings, I'm reminded of that reality show through the story of Esther, which Rob read beautifully. Esther, in her story, became an undercover boss. Like the contemporary reality show, Esther wore a number of metaphorical disguises on her way to being revealed as an undercover boss. And what a gift for me to be assigned to preach on a Sunday when the book of Esther is among the readings, as it does not happen so often in the three-year cycle of Sunday lectionary readings. In my mind now, Esther is a significant figure in the Bible who does not get much airtime. When I was much younger, I considered Esther to be a real hero. She had an entire book of the Bible named after her. But Esther's significance comes from the ways that she uses her power. So we continue to read it, to share it, and to say her name. So I must confess to you all, as I did to our Thursday Bible study — we have a wonderful Bible study on Thursday mornings, in case you're available, please join us — but as I confess to my Thursday Bible study, after spending kindergarten through 12th grade in Catholic school religion classes and being raised in a very active church family in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, when I went to college, I was ready to fully embrace my not in religion class, not in uniform, not in Sunday school, independent, proto-feminist self. So the Bible, as I had heard it preached and taught through the years, just didn't fit in with my very grown 19-year-old reality. So at that time, Esther and most of the other women in the Bible were undercover to me, almost all of them. As I had come to understand it, the Bible was a collection of the Holy Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which always spoke to my heart and still do. And then a lot of stories about a lot of men and battles and wars and territory going back and forth and punishment, occasional brief authoritarian conversations with God. Besides Eve in the Old Testament and Mary in the New Testament, the rest of the Bible just really didn't pay attention to women as agents of power. And then there was God smiting, right? Lots of smiting, 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 and God smote. And that worried me, because I said, Lord, don't smite me. For me to discover Esther's story really helped to draw me into the text in a way that I had not been drawn in before. Her story caused me to be curious about what actually was in the Bible beyond what I had been told or heard or what had been pre-selected for me. Today's lectionary runs the risk of keeping Esther's deeds of power undercover too. What you heard this morning, even though the book is named after her, still renders Esther somewhat of a minor character in her own named book. So it fails to tell us that, one, Esther had not always been the queen. She actually replaced a previous queen, who is a noteworthy queen, who had abdicated her throne rather than submit to intimate violence at the hand of the king and his drinking buddies. So first assignment is for you this week, before you come back to church next week, read chapter 1 of Esther, and it will give you context for what I'm talking about. There's other powerful women in the story. Nor did Esther become the queen because she was raised at the court or born with a silver spoon in her mouth. In fact, Esther basically came up through foster care and happened to be a part of the crowd of women who were brought into the court. She became queen, unlikely enough, because she won a beauty contest that was sponsored by the king of Susa, not because of her lush life or who her parents were. The scripture that was not in the lectionary describes this beauty contest and the resulting year of beauty and spa treatments and stylists in the harem. It's really, there's a lot there. So homework assignment number 2, read the second chapter of Esther to get all that. You don't expect, that sounds more like Netflix than the book of Esther, right? So Esther won the beauty contest, and she was so physically attractive, more than everybody else, the book tells us, that she captured the king's attention and his full-on attraction. Amidst all that, Esther was still undercover. Esther kind of slid in where she fit in. She kept her head down and did her best to assimilate. She did her best to stay undercover as a Jewish person in the Persian king's court. The Jewish people at that time were a minoritized and oppressed population who had been rounded up from their homeland and dispersed throughout Persia in order to weaken them and their community socially and politically and economically. So Esther was undercover about her background and her faith and her culture. Nevertheless, she'd managed to rise to the heights of power in the Persian kingdom, not because of, but in spite of her Jewishness. But friends, do not miss that even though Esther was undercover, Esther was truly an undercover boss. So the wise author, Alice Walker, said this: the most common way that people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any. I'm going to say it again. The most common way that people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any. And certainly in Esther's situation, one might think that. But Esther's mentor, uncle who helped raise her, said directly to her, "Who knows, Esther, that for such a time as this, you have been placed in the midst of this kingdom, in the midst of this court. And Esther, in response, wanted to back up and be a little bit more undercover. But she asked him to invite the Jewish community scattered around to be in prayer and fasting for 3 days while she herself opened her heart and mind to what she should do. After that time of prayer and fasting, she came back and she said to Mordecai, "If I perish, then I perish." She took the opportunity to use her voice and her position and her privilege to save her life, yes, but what's of ultimate importance and unforgettable necessity for us is that she saved the lives of all the Jewish people in the dispersion in Persia. It wasn't enough just to ask for her own safety and salvation. She wanted all of her people saved also. So actually, Martha, who's sitting right in front of me, who's one of our very loyal Thursday Bible study folks, Martha said in our group on Thursday morning, she said, "Esther's story is really a profile in courage." And I agree. I really agree. And we borrow Jesus' phrase today from the Gospels, from the Gospel of Mark, and Esther performed a deed of power by saying the words in the right place to the right person that would deliver her people from the pogrom that was against them. Esther turned Walker's words inside out. She took off the disguise and came out from undercover when she understood that she had power. So when I first read this, you know, as a young person, at the very, very wise age of 19, I've never been as smart as I was when I was 19, I had a hazy relationship to my own voice and to my own power. Didn't really know if I had any. And I had an unclear map of the direction of my faith. The existence of Esther's story in the Bible thrilled me, it inspired me, and it invited me to look into the Bible and read it for myself, not just wait for someone else to tell me what was there. So in the gospel this morning, we observe this conversation between John and Jesus. And John runs to tell Jesus, because I think he's maybe being a tattletale, he runs to tell Jesus, "Teacher, teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." I mean, can you imagine, like, running to Jesus to say that? And Jesus wisely responded, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me." Esther performed a deed of power by using her own power that she discerned within her through God's power to save not only herself but her people. The nameless someone in the Gospel of Mark also performed deeds of power by casting out demons in public. But then Esther seems, from what I can read, to go back undercover. So you all will tell me after you do your homework reading what you find. But it seems like Esther used her power in that moment and then maybe retired her power. And you'll see that having retired her power and having been in a crazy administration that valued things that were not maybe in God's values, by being there, after she went back undercover, all hell broke loose in the Persian kingdom in the name of self-defense. And in the gospel, there are so many more demons that needed casting out, and in our time and day too. How shall we apply the lessons of the undercover boss today? As we look around our city and our region that has just been devastated by Hurricane Helene, and is regularly devastated by discrimination and large wealth gaps. People who were hungry before the storm are hungrier and more vulnerable now that the storm has passed. People who were unhoused before the storm are more exposed now following the storm. Hear these words once again. The most common way that people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any. Maybe we could say the most common way that we give up our power is by thinking we don't have any. So, St. Luke's, let us not be undercover bosses. Through God's power, let us come out from undercover. Let us engage in individual and communal relationships with God that are big enough, yes, for ourselves, but also for our communities, for our people, for all of us in the heart of Atlanta. Let us be inspired toward deeds of power in God's name. And let's use our power to cast out some societal demons, like hunger and poverty and loneliness, to give life in oppressed and marginalized places. And we will go forward, coming out from undercover, in Jesus' name. Amen.